All right, good morning. We're a minute late, I'm sorry. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we can be here to worship you, study your word, and be able to observe and discern the world and false religions with a clear eye founded on the truth. So bless our time. Help us to see clearly the difference between what you have done for your people and how Satan is leading billions of people astray. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, this is our last session on Islam, and there's going to be a test. Maybe that's why a lot of people didn't show up. All right, just by way of a very quick route, we looked at the history, which is tied to the life of Muhammad, mainly. And then the rise and the expansion of the early years with the different caliphates and the early caliphs. That was, where they got all the way up into Spain, as you can see there. And then we talked a little bit about the different branches, the two primary being Shiite and Sunni. Then we looked last time at the beliefs and some of the teachings, the importance of the Quran and how it is organized and what it says and how it's to be interpreted. And then the Hadith, which were sort of other non-Quranic, not biblical, but the Quran's the equivalent of the Bible to Muslims. The Hadith are other sayings of Muhammad that don't rise to the level of Quran. So traditions, the best way to interpret the Quran. So a lot of people would go back because Muhammad the prophet said that. And then the Sharia law, how Islam ultimately is not only a religion, but really affects all of life. And that truly Islamic countries live by Muslim law, Sharia. Then we looked at some of the doctrines, their view of Allah being a strict monotheistic one God, their belief in angels, and definitely today that will come up as far as angels have many functions, but angels write down your good deeds, your bad deeds, and on the day of judgment, if the angel gives you your diploma, I'll call it, in your left hand, you're going to hell. If the angel gives you your diploma in the right hand, you get to go to their version of paradise. Scripture, we talked about, the Quran, they respect the law of Moses, the Psalms of David, the Gospels of Jesus, but those were only imperfect scripture for a certain era. The Quran is for all times the primary scripture. And all the Christian writings, especially, are, any writing, but they're mainly directed at Christians and Jews, have been corrupted. So Muhammad, he is the seal of the prophets. So Jesus is important. Moses is important. Adam, they look back to creation of man with Adam, but Muhammad is called the seal of the prophets. He is for all ages, not just certain times. And then they believe in Judgment Day, which, once again is based on their understanding of how you keep the different teachings of Islam. They have a very strict view of kismet, which is predestination. That's why you'll hear the phrase, I'm going to go to the store tomorrow, inshallah, if God wills it. And one other dot, well, actually this then is how you live a good Muslim life. The jihad is the statement, one God there's only one God, Allah, and Muhammad's his prophet. Salat is the praying five times a day. Zakat is 2.5% of your income given to Muslim charities. Saum is the fasting during the month of Ramadan. And then the Hajj is the once in your life, if you are able, is you go to Mecca and join the big throng around the Kaaba stone there, you know, that black box. And then sometimes what gets added to the pillars is jihad, you know, which is supposed to be the inner struggle mainly, but it's also the outer struggle against infidels. Okay, so now here's what we're going to talk about today, and there's going to be a test. I will. So first, let me just start in general. So contradictions to the truth. Now just that statement right there, I don't think there's a problem in this audience, but what is truth? But overall, in general, actually before we get in. Okay, just in general, Islam, if you remember Muhammad's early history, he was influenced by monotheistic people. Christians, remember they were not very orthodox, but there were Christians in Mecca and Jews. So the monotheism really influenced his understanding of Allah, God's nature, sovereign, powerful God, and then ultimately will judge. So all those things show up in Islam to a magnified degree, a misunderstood degree, but that has influenced Islam. One of the big point of departure is Abraham offered Ishmael on the, you know what, on Mount the Mount instead of Isaac. So they go back to Ishmael and then back to, you know, Abraham's important, back to Adam, but Ishmael, not Isaac. And now we don't, for sake of time, but Genesis 16, Genesis 17, Genesis 21, all the Old Testament stories about, remember where Ishmael was born with Hagar, the handmaiden, Sarah's handmaiden, and God's interaction and blessing on Ishmael, but he was not the chosen seed. In Isaac will your seed be called. And so right there, you know, the truth, God, the God of the Bible, the true God, chose Isaac. Right away, Muslims, Islam goes for Ishmael. Debbie, yes. Part of their doctrine. Part of their doctrine, yes. The devil. And he's the first son. Yeah, that's true. Because Isaac's 13 years younger. And if you remember, and I'm sure you do, our Galatian series, Paul gives a big, long teaching about two covenants in Galatians 4, contrasting Isaac, and he uses historical events, Isaac versus Ishmael, and Paul's conclusion as part of his purpose for the letter was cast out that bondwoman. And so, you know, Paul makes a big distinction about the truth, but yes, and that's part of contradictions, the deception. And we're going to get back to how does Satan deceive people from the truth. Well, my whole premise in all this is Islam has been a very important means for Satan to influence people around the world. Okay, so God. Let me read you the statement, and you're going to tell me what's wrong with this. And you're going to quote me scripture that shows why that is wrong. Okay, so God, the biggest sin in Islam is what's called shirk, which means giving Allah, God. That's just the Arabic word for God. Giving Allah an associate. So anybody they perceive as getting any of Allah's glory, that's the biggest sin. They have 99 names, different names, for Allah, but none of them, not one of them, says Father, so Heavenly Father. He is absolute, you know, where what he decides, if God says white is black, that's black. He can be very fickle. He can change his mind. But what he says is absolute, which, if you dig down deeper, so he's not really consistent with his character, which would be one response Christians would have, because I believe that true God is absolute, but he is consistent. His attributes are consistent with his dictates and commands. And he can deceive. It's okay to deceive in order to further Islam's progressing. So, what do you see wrong with God and having no associates and the way they understand it? Specifically with regard, I'll bait the fish here a little. What's wrong with that? Very good. Very good. Very good. In you don't want me off on a tangent with that. Okay, I'll prime the pump a little, another one. So, when did Jesus ever claim to have the authority of God, the God? Okay, practical outworking, yes. Okay. Very good, CJ. Okay, now here's one that I have written down that I'll prime you for. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. What did Jesus say? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." So right away, a strictly, you know, their understanding of Allah, a non-triune God. And see, that's, obviously the Trinity is very hard to comprehend. And, you know, describe the Trinity, give three examples. You can't do it. You know, we have to take what the scripture says and understand one God, one in essence, three persons, which doesn't violate any laws of contradiction things, but all other, and especially Islam, strictly monotheistic. They can't get that, and so we are infidels because we worship Jesus. And that's shirk. Like I said, that's tied to shirk. We are giving God, the Father in our case, God an associate someone on his level, Jesus. A lot of Christian heresies try to explain that away too. You know, Jesus is the firstborn. He, you know, all the ways they, Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, lessen the deity of Christ. Okay, that was an easy one. Here's one. Humanity. This should be easy, but humanity, man was created out of a clot of blood with a clean slate. Bonus to Fletcher or someone that, what Christian heresy taught that, but the idea of, you know, basically people are born clean slate, then of course we're going to see, you know, what determines salvation. What's wrong with that? Verse. I don't want your opinion. What's a good verse? Yes. And what's a good verse for something like that? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2, among whom we all once conducted ourselves, doing all these bad things, and were by nature children of wrath. And a bonus for the Christian heresy that is in rampant in a lot of Christian denominations, and the good-looking woman over there got it. You ain't bad-looking over there. But Pelagian, and that was Augustine and his big diatribe with Pelagius. But Pelagius believed man was created, Adam and Eve were created with a completely morally neutral slate, basically. But Christian doctrine, to more or less degree, depending on some denominations, but man has a sin nature, has been corrupted by sin, you know, so no one... There's no possibility now that anybody could live a perfect life. They were so perfect they didn't need a Savior. That's bad teaching. That's not understanding. Oh, what's that saying I've heard? Oh, there's some saying I've heard. That's it. So it's not just personal sins. It's inherited corruption and inherited guilt. So, okay, very good. You got that one. All right, so then really tied to it. So for Muslims, Islam, and, you know, we're talking about Islam, but other world religions, a lot of these are similar. No atonement is necessary, and you can see that sort of follows. If you could, you know, if you were born with a clean slate, why would you need the atonement, the sacrifice of Christ? And you can earn your salvation by keeping the five pillars, those, you know, the things that the way the Muslim lifestyle, Shahada, the statement, no God, the prayer, the things. So what's wrong with that? That's a softball. No atonement necessary, and you can earn your salvation by, for Muslims, the five pillars. Verse, young lady. Man, you guys know your Bible. That's good. any others. I mean, the Bible's, you know, there's lots of them, but Ephesians 2 especially, and earlier than Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but, and you he made alive, you know, right after being by nature children of wrath. He starts off that section, actually that's verse 1. You he made alive who were dead, not sick, dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do you get wages? You earn them, work for them, versus the free gift. That's why we call grace, mercy, terms like that. Very good. And this one's sort of similar to, obviously, salvation. You are in, to their version of paradise, when your good deeds outweigh your bad. In other words, works. I don't know, let me quote you from the Quran, chapter 23, beginning in verse 102 in the Quran. And those whose scales are heavy with good deeds, it is they who are successful, but those whose scales are light, those are the ones who have lost their souls, being in hell, abiding eternally. That sounds fair. Do you think anybody else believes that in the church? Very common. I killed less people than my brother-in-law, so I must be good. How many times do you hear he's a good person? And I know what they're trying to say, but theologically, are there any good people? You know, what is it, was it Kushner, Rabbi, whatever is Kushner? Why do good things happen to, or bad things happen to good people? I deny the premise. Book done. But see, that is so prevalent that some, and what does that then go back to? What is that assuming in our previous couple? A good nature or a neutral nature, as if it's man's the only one that determines, you know, as far as what we do, as opposed to our standing before an eternal, holy, righteous God. See, that goes back to a fundamental lack of understanding of anthropology, if you want the big word, but how man was created. You know, if you don't understand our standing as humans before God, then that's where I heard Scott say it earlier. That's where you hear words like, well, that doesn't seem fair. Okay. And then you've heard the joke when Billy Graham got up to the pearly gates. This is in the Bible, you know. And Peter said, why should we let you in here? And Billy Graham said, well, I've been, you know, preaching the gospel. You know, millions and millions of people have you know, responded to the gospel call. And Peter had said, you need 100 points. You have to have 100 points to get into heaven. And Billy Graham, you know, said that. I've been an ordained minister for 70 years. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've been a deacon. I've given 90% of my money to the church. I've raised, you know, good kids. Or, you know, Franklin's now preaching the ministry, and he just goes on for 10 minutes talking about, you know, all the things Billy Graham did, and Peter's writing things down, and he's nodding, and wow, yeah, good. Okay, well, you've got one point. And Billy Graham says, Lord, have mercy. There's the other 99. Come on in. But that is so prevalent in Islam, other religion, pagans, and in the church, I submit, that we think it's all up to us, and it's based on, our salvation is based on our deeds. And as long as we have 51% good deeds, as we define them, versus 49% bad deeds, as we define them, then God has to let us into heaven, right? And that's Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is good. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's not what we do. We know that, but we sure don't act like it. All right. Jesus, I sort of like him. They do believe he was born a virgin birth. They actually believe that. But he was only a messenger. And one of their sayings is, far be it from Allah to have a son. He was a son of Mary, according to tradition, but the date of Christmas was changed. So, you know, a little bit of, it's not so Christ-centered, but, you know, he's an honorable prophet. So, Jesus, just a nice guy, nice prophet. That was a question. Verses? Very good, yep. In 1 John 2, who is a liar? Yes. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So in other words, and I think I've said this a lot, Jesus is not just prominent. Jesus is preeminent. And that's why Christ, as Christians, is central. And that gets into lots of other areas, like gifts of the Holy Spirit, all that. What are the purpose of those gifts, if not to shine the spotlight, you might say, as on Christ? So that's, Jesus is Christianity. I mean, that's right there. If you ever want to discuss with anybody about, you know, what are the differences, what do they do with the person and work of Christ? Very good, CJ. Very good, thank you, yes. And so once again, Jesus. And there's a, oh man, there's a saying I've heard. Jesus is better than we think he is. See, I've gotten softer. If you guys don't remember, you know, 15 years ago or whenever, when I first got here, I don't think I was even a Christian probably then. Because I used to say, it's Jesus, stupid. Yeah. You can't say that in church. But the centrality of Christ. Okay, the crucifixion. So Islam, Jesus never really died, because that would be dishonorable for a prophet. Once again, the Quran in chapter 4, verse 157 in the Quran. And for their saying, you Christians, and for their saying, indeed, we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, and they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but another person was made to resemble him to them. And indeed, those who differ over it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except the following of assumption. And they did not kill him for certain. In other words, Christians are confused. They don't know. They don't know that Jesus was not really killed. It was somebody else. And tradition says it was Judas, was crucified in his place. True, false? And you don't have to come up with one verse. I'll give you a whole chapter. And I will give you a time frame. This is the Easter Sunday message. So what chapter is that? About the crucifixion. Was the crucifixion important? Did Jesus have to die? If Jesus did not die, how many of you guys are going to heaven? None of you. That's 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter, Paul. That's a masterful chapter. But basically, if your sins were not paid for, the atonement on the cross, the perfect sacrifice, you're still in your sins and your believing is in vain. Old foolish Galatian, you know, Corinthians type of thing where you believe in a lie. What are we doing here? If Jesus did not get out of that grave, what are we doing here? And that is central, and that is explicitly denied by other world religions and Islam. So in the back of this, I hope you see, Satan's ultimate deception. If he can attack central doctrines and truths of Christianity, that's what Satan will do. He has many methods. He's a wily god. What George, remember old Brother Bill, old smutty face. Smutty face will do anything, whether it's a deacon sitting on the front row of the church, or whether it's, you know, the guys dancing around a bonfire with goat leggings on, or whether it's nice, respectable, peace-loving Muslims. Anything to take us away from Christ, and that is small a, antichrist, against or instead of Christ, is, you know, that's how Satan works. Islam is very effective. And then finally, the Bible, we've talked about this, but it was corrupted, and then here's a good word for you, abrogated, replaced by the Quran. True or false? Any verses come to mind? All scripture is inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration in the King James family of texts, but a better word, if you have the ESV or another text type. All scripture is God-breathed. And so the idea, you know, that's a huge study, area of study. How did we get the Bible? Is it God's word? But it's not been abrogated. It's not. It warns us, actually, in Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18. It warns people, especially the Israelites, about false prophets, you know, false teaching, contradicting what God says. All right, so none of you have said the Shahada this week, right? None of you have converted to Muslim? I'm only giving you an average passing grade on your test today. So what? Well, this is a worldview. We'll talk more about worldviews probably in the fall, as I'm thinking we'll take a look at worldviews. But the idea of exclusive truth in our world, in the church, unfortunately, exclusive truth is not accepted. Experience is more valuable, because after all, our neighbors, whatever they believe, they're nice people. In the world, look at all these people in the world. Surely they can't all be going to hell. Nice, peace-loving Muslims. They're so sincere. Surely, you know, their experience can't be wrong. And we've been exposed to all types of thinking. And people are good, generally. You know, so experience ends up trumping truth. Yeah, thank you, John. Okay, skepticism. Nowadays, we are skeptical. We, meaning culture. Skeptical that there is no truth. And so that definitely flows with the Bible. You know, that, well, I don't care what the Bible says, or my favorite is, that's your interpretation. I like that. Relativism. You know, that's one of our brilliant congressional leaders said, well, what I'm saying may not be actual truth, but it's moral truth. The idea of, you know, once again, what we as a culture have decided is more important than absolute. I mean, that can be awfully harsh. You don't want to tell somebody they're wrong. That's just not very loving. So relativism has affected our understanding of truth. Public and private. What you do in your own home, that's up to you. Although they're starting to come after you in your own home. You know, and we want facts. We want science, not values or, you know, your values. When it comes to religion, you know, science, not religion. And preferences. Well, we'll tolerate you Bible-thumping Christians if, you know, because if it works for you, we'll tolerate you, but not for much longer, I'm afraid. But the idea of personal truth, you know, that's another statement you've heard me. Well, that's your truth. That is such an asinine statement. Pragmatism, we're Americans. Pragmatism, that'll be one of our worldviews, but that's uniquely American, what works for me. If Christianity works for you, good, but here's what works for me. Don't confuse me with the facts. This works for me. You keep your stuff to yourself. And you Christians, not sweet Muslims, can be awfully arrogant and intolerant. I mean, you guys can't just go along and can't compromise. That, you know, that can lead to no world peace. I mean, we need world peace. And you people are stirring up so much trouble. And then the rising view. And unfortunately, in the church, Christian church as well, universalism. Eventually, God, who is, you know, we know his main attribute is love. And so he's going to save everybody because he's a nice guy. And Fletcher, I am, Amy, I know you know that. I'm being facetious now. And all of this kind of stuff violates the law. The law of contradiction. And that's a little logic which we are allergic to in this culture. But logic, two things that are, you know, talking about the same idea in the same way, and they're opposite, cannot both be true. And we don't believe that anymore. So you can be a good Muslim and you can be a good Christian, and there's no contradiction. No. See, and that is just leave aside the religion aspect and the truth of the religions. But if you are logically, you can't believe both. And that's, you know, that's sort of the black and white are different. They both can't be true. It's either or. And we don't like that, especially as Americans. So, Lecter, read for us as we close out here. Genesis 3:15 again. This is what we started with. But Satan will use any means necessary to deceive the world, including false religions. And go ahead. Okay, remember that. All the way back to the garden. The serpent and all the, you know, the things he was telling the woman. But then later, when God is pronouncing curses, he curses the serpent. And the idea of Satan and the seed of the woman, who are the Jewish ancestors, but then ultimately culminating in Jesus Christ, there's going to be a cosmic battle. And Satan's seed and God's seed will be in constant conflict. And Satan, the serpent, will use any means he can to try and nip at the heel, as it were, with ultimately Christ, but the truth. And then one day, of course, Christ will crush the head of the serpent. You know, and I've read the end of the book. God wins. So the teaching and beliefs of Islam contradict the Bible and are violently held by those fighting against the Jewish people. So this, especially with anti-Semitism, and this gets into Islam means submission. Muslim, one who submits. We can have peace as long as you do it our way. Otherwise, we'll fly planes into your buildings. And we'll, you know, so the idea of define peace, what brings about true peace? Only the Prince of Peace. So Jesus is the answer. And then you folks, you all get a passing grade. But do you know the truth? Ultimately, the truth about what God says, what Christianity teaches in God's word about the person and work of Christ and all that that entails. So, all right. Well, we'll stop there, and I hope I was understandable. I overdosed on sleeping pills. You don't want all the details, but I took a sleeping pill right before I got up. So I'm a little loopy. So good thing, Fletcher, you got to speak clearly, buddy. We got bringing in the ringer to preach. But any questions? I hope that was helpful. It took us a while to get, you know, to get done with this series. But nowadays, it's still in the news. The two-week Iran war is now in its eighth week or whatever. And so the importance of understanding that there's a lot more than just temporal, human level stuff. I mean, I love listening to the news where, why can't they just get along? Okay, there's a lot more to this, and there are spiritual reasons. And the correct answer, remember, for your game show, when they say, why can't they get along? You say Genesis 3:15. Or you do like Scott did on his philosophy paper, I deny the premise of the question. So, any comments or questions? We're relatively on time. Jam. Okay, do you know why that is? What do Catholics believe about salvation? Are they exclusivists, inclusivists, or pluralists? Roman Catholics are what are called inclusivists. Oh yeah, Jesus is the Savior, but he's the Savior of everybody, no matter what they believe. That's grossly simplified, but all will be saved by the blood of Christ. And so if you are dedicated to being a good person, being a good Muslim, whatever that is, God's love, he will include all well-meaning people, grossly oversimplified, as opposed to the truth. We are exclusivists. There's only one way, through Jesus Christ. You know, Christianity is the only truth. And then, of course, pluralists, you know, that's everybody saved. Saved? Why do I need to be saved? That's Pelagianism. Roman Catholics are semi-Pelagians, if you want the... I won't get into the lecture for sake of time, but this is what I do, and I'm loopy right now. So they don't believe the doctor of their church, Augustine and Augustinianism, what the Bible teaches, Paul, etc., etc. They believe that we all are just sick. And if we do the right things, according to Catholics, oh yeah, Jesus' atonement is important. Faith is important. Grace is important. But we cooperate with that grace. And so therefore, everybody will be saved. And I mean, and if you wear a white hat, that's your job, to love everybody and lecture our president. So, any final comments or questions? I want to point out it's the crows keeping us over. No, go ahead. No, so I stamped out dissent. Whatever Kelvin was going to say, yes. All right, let's pray. Actually, Kelvin, would you pray for us, please?